Well, as we come back to God's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have a Bible, please grab it and open it up to that chapter, and let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you that you speak words of certainty and hope and reassurance. We know that this is an uncertain time, a time of change, a time of trouble. Father, would you open our ears to hear your reassuring words of hope today? And would you use this time to strengthen us for the challenges of the week ahead? We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. A question. When did you last shake someone's hand? It probably feels like quite a long time ago, doesn't it? Even though it was only really a few short weeks. Unless, of course, you don't normally like shaking people's hands, in which case it would have been longer ago. But for most of us, things have changed in just a few short weeks. And if you're listening to this or watching this and you're human, you probably have at this point quite an intense longing for certain things to go back to the way that they were before we'd ever heard the words COVID-19. A longing for things to change. And I don't know what it is for you that you're most looking forward to changing when the restrictions are lifted. For a lot of us, of course, we're looking forward to being able to meet together in this building where I am today, meeting together in person to worship our God together and to have fellowship face to face. As I say these words, the cleaners have already set out the chairs for our first Sunday morning service in this building, whenever that happens. And they're empty at the moment. And I can look forward to that day when those chairs are filled. But there'll be other things as well, not just church, that we'll be looking forward to, anticipating, longing for the day when we can experience them again. Perhaps for you, it's looking forward to being able to watch live football or rugby or whatever other sport you watch. Perhaps you're just looking forward to being able to go into a shop without having to queue outside at a distance of 2 metres from the people in front of you. Or perhaps you're just looking forward to being able to pop round to your friend's house at any point to enjoy a cup of tea together. Well, whatever it is that you're looking forward to about the change of those restrictions, those longings that we have, those senses of anticipation, those are good things. Those are things that will help us in the next few weeks and months. Help us to keep going, where we can see that end point. We can imagine it, that day when COVID-19 restrictions will be lifted. We imagine that day. It gives us a bit of strength to keep going. The Bible tells us about another day. Another day to look forward to. Another day that's even more certain than the day when COVID-19 restrictions will be lifted. Another day that gives us strength to keep going. And this morning, as we come to the end of our series through 1 Corinthians 15, I want us to think about, well, what is that day? And what difference does it make to us now? What is that day? Well, we think about the day in the context of a problem. As we've been going through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul has been raising various questions and issues and problems that people might have with the idea of Jesus being raised from the dead or his people being raised in the future. And the particular problem that we come to in verse 50 is this. I tell you this, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. In other words, if Jesus comes back this afternoon, as he could do, and he says, well, the gates to a glorious eternity are open, come on in, we wouldn't immediately be able to go in as we are, because flesh and blood, our bodies as they are now, us as we are now, we can't go in to that eternal kingdom as we are. Our bodies, this perishable body subject to decay and weakness and death, is not suited to that glorious existence. It doesn't fit there. So flesh and blood, our bodies as they are now, can't enter into that eternal kingdom where God's rule and reign is perfectly seen all of the time. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. As we are, these bodies, we don't fit into that glorious existence. But having given us that problem, Paul lets us in on a secret, a kind of open secret that he calls in verse 51 a mystery. Paul talks about lots of mysteries in his letters in the New Testament. A mystery for Paul is basically something that used to be only known to God, but is now known to lots of people. And the mystery here in verse 51 is that we should not all sleep, but we should all be changed. We won't all sleep in the sense that some people, not necessarily from our generation, but some humans will be alive when Jesus comes back. Not every human will go through the experience of physical death. We won't all sleep, but we will all be changed. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but we will be changed as the Lord's people to fit in that glorious eternal kingdom where God's rule and reign is perfectly seen all of the time. The perishable cannot inherit the imperishable, but we will be changed so that we can enjoy that imperishable, eternal, life-filled existence. We will be changed. And Paul invites us in this passage to imagine the experience of that day of change and transformation that's coming. To imagine that day of change and transformation, which will stretch our imaginations to the limit, because we can't really imagine it so beyond anything that we can think of and dream of. Yet he gives us certain descriptions of that day of change and transformation to help us think about what it means for us. And so just like we might imagine that day when coronavirus restrictions are lifted, and we can pop round to our friend's house for a cup of tea again, so we imagine the experience of that day of change that is coming when Jesus comes back and find strength to keep going in the troubles of this world now. And as Paul invites us to imagine the experience of that day, there are four things in particular that he draws our attention to. The first is what we see. As we think about that day of change that's coming when Jesus comes back, that day of change for his people, what do we see? What we see is a sudden transformation. A sudden transformation. Here's how the Apostle Paul puts it in verse 52, that this change will come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a split second, in the blink of an eye, before you can say COVID-19, we will be changed. We look ahead to things being lifted in terms of coronavirus restrictions, but we know that it won't all happen at once. It won't be that there's a day where the government says, right, that's it, everything changes. That things will happen bit by bit, gradually, and some restrictions might be lifted and then put back in place, and then lifted and put back in place. We don't know yet. Things will be gradual. Not so when Jesus returns. That day of change will be instant. In a split second, in the blink of an eye, we will be changed. And what will change for us? All of the frustrations of life in this flesh and blood, perishable, mortal body, all of the frustrations will come to an end on that day, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Those frustrations will be gone forever. It won't be a long drawn out process. It will happen in a moment. In the blink of an eye, we will be changed, and the frustrations of this flesh and blood, mortal, perishable body will be a thing of the past. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? What we see, that day of change, change in an instant. And having told us about what we see, Paul goes on to tell us about what we will hear. What do we hear as we imagine that day? And what we hear in verse 52 is a trumpet. Now, there are lots of people throughout the Bible who play the trumpet at various points. And in the Bible, people don't play the trumpet unless they have a good reason for playing the trumpet. Having said that, I'm not quite sure what a bad reason for playing the trumpet would be. But anyway, point is, people play the trumpet at significant moments, significant military moments, announcing a battle, celebrating a victory, significant moments of celebration and festivities, significant religious moments. Trumpets sound at significant moments. And so the trumpet sounds on this day in verse 52 because it is a significant moment, but it's a very significant moment because this trumpet that sounds is the last trumpet. This is the last turning point in history. This is the moment where not just things change, but things change forever. There will never again be a trumpet to call people to war, because there will be no more war. There won't be another trumpet to celebrate a new victory, because this is the final, eternal moment of victory. We hear with our ears the trumpet sounding, and we know that it is the last trumpet. So we see this instantaneous moment of transformation where the frustrations of life now come to an end, and we hear that last trumpet that tells us that this really is the end. What we see, what we hear, then I suppose you could say what we feel. And this is where, in particular, our imaginations can't quite cope. This description of what happens in verse 53. This perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. This perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Now, that language of putting things on, putting something on, normally we talk about putting on clothes, don't we? Like I might put on this dressing gown that I brought with me, which is a good thing to put on because we're not heating this building at the moment, so it is quite cold in here. Now, I can put on this dressing gown. Now, obviously, the change that will come when Jesus comes back is more significant than the change that happens when I put on a dressing gown. This is quite a superficial change. It doesn't really change much apart from how I look. The change that comes when we put on an item of clothing is different from the change that comes when Jesus comes back. That change is much more radical, much more total. And yet there is one similarity between that day of change that's coming and me putting on this dressing gown. And the one similarity is this. Whatever clothes I put on, whatever dressing gowns, whatever jumpers, whatever trousers, whatever anything else, whatever clothes I put on, I'm still me. It's still me wearing these clothes. And so too, on that day of change and transformation that comes, however radical the change is, and it'll be radical beyond our imagination, it'll still be us that's being changed. This is something that we, us, me, you, will experience. That it's this perishable body that must put on the imperishable. This mortal body that puts on immortality. It'll be a radical day of transformation beyond our imagination. Yet one thing will stay the same. It will still be us. And this hope of that day of change, thinking about that eternal, glorious future, it may seem just so far removed from us, it doesn't really seem real. This description of this perishable body putting on the imperishable reminds us that it will be us who's experiencing it. And not just us. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes and transforms our lowly body to be like his glorious body, this won't just be a kind of a private day of transformation. But this will be a day of reunion, where those friends and loved ones that we know who've died in Christ, who've died with this hope in Jesus, that we will be with them again. We'll be caught up together with them, with the Lord, to be with him and with his people forever. But what we see as we imagine that day, we see a moment of sudden transformation. We hear a last trumpet telling us this is the end. And we know that this is something that we will actually experience as us, as this perishable body puts on the imperishable, as we're changed so that we can dwell in that glorious eternal kingdom of God. One last thing that we need to see about that day as we attempt to try and begin to start to imagine something vaguely resembling that experience. And the last thing that we are told about is what we say. What we say as we imagine that day. And what we say in verses 54 and 55, we say these words: death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? It's a taunt, essentially, taunting death. It's a taunt that draws on two passages in the Old Testament. You can look them up in your own time. A taunt that draws on those passages, taunting death when it's swallowed up in victory. In this world now, in our flesh and blood, mortal, perishable bodies, unless we're alive when Jesus comes back, we will experience physical death. And that will always be the horrible reality of life in this world. Funerals will always be horrible moments. Even if we have hope in Jesus, death is horrible. And as we just look at a funeral by itself, it may seem like death has the final say, the final word. Death has been victorious in bringing this person's life to an end. This moment when Jesus comes back and all of his people are raised with glorious new bodies to be with him forever, that's the moment when we see that any apparent victory that death had was not really a victory at all. Death is swallowed up. Death that comes to an end. Death that no longer has any power. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? We imagine this day of change that's coming, a day of sudden change, of final change, of change for us. And we see it's a day when death comes to an end. And everything that goes along with death, all of that decay and all of that sadness and pain and tears, come to an end forever, swallowed up in the victory of Jesus Christ. That's the day of change for Jesus' people when he comes back, that day of change that he invites us to imagine as far as it's possible to imagine it. And if it's exciting to imagine it, How exciting will it be to experience it when Jesus comes back and we shall be changed. Now, it is important at this point to say that this experience of change, this glorious moment of change, it's not an experience that we deserve. It's not an experience that's automatically ours by virtue of being human. It's not an experience that every person who's ever lived will experience. And to see why, let's think about why it is that death has a sting in the first place. The reason why death is such an awful reality. We're told in verse 56 that the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. The issue is not just death in itself. It's the fact that death comes to us because of sin. That God, who created us to live in this world, God says to us as humans, well, this is the way to live in this world that I've created. And what we have said as humans throughout history is we've basically said, no thanks, we'll go this way instead. And we do that in different ways, but we turn away from God, and we like to make our own path through his world, not listening to him as we should, not honouring him as we should, not giving him thanks as we should. That's what the Bible calls sin. And as we go our own way, we still borrow from things that God says that we should do, because we're created to be like him. And so we see lots of people around us at the moment doing lots of amazing things and making amazing sacrifices for other people. And yet, if the course of our life is still heading away from God, then there's still a problem. Because if we're heading away from the life-giving God, then where that path ends is death. And death is a final separation from the God who made us, a moment of final separation, shut out from his presence to experience the darkness of his judgment forever. That's what we deserve. Not any of the experience that I've talked about earlier on. What we all deserve, because of our sin, because of how we've lived in God's world, because of how we've turned away from him, we deserve to face the punishment of that final moment of separation in death and that eternal judgment away from him. The sting of death is sin. The issue is not just death in itself, but death is a result of sin, leading to judgment. And the power of sin is the law that even if we tried really hard to follow lots of rules, to do lots of good things, all we'd do is just keep turning away from God all the more, turning away into sin, heading to death. That's what we all deserve. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The one way where that experience I've talked about, that experience of that day of change, the one way that that can be ours is through God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, throughout the whole of eternity, living in heaven with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God Father, Son and Holy Spirit, looking down at this dark world where we've turned away from him, where we've turned away from the life-giving God, chosen sin and death. Looking down at this dark world and coming up with a plan, a plan to rescue people. To rescue people out of that darkness into a glorious eternity that they don't deserve. A plan that involved God the Son coming down into the darkness of this world himself. Coming down, born as a baby, given the name Jesus. And when he grew up, he lived the perfect life that all of us have failed to live. He didn't go his own way. He went the way that his Father called him to at every point. He was perfect. Yet he died. He headed into Jerusalem on a donkey and then he died on a cross. He was executed, in fact. He died a terrible death. Not a death that he deserved. But in his death, he was taking on himself the punishment that we deserve for our sin, so that we don't have to face that punishment ourselves. And having died for our sin, he was raised from the dead. And he ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of his Father. And he's in that position, and he gives life to those who call on him. The Bible says to us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you say, yes, Jesus, I acknowledge that you are king, that you are in charge. I'm sorry for the ways that I've wanted to be in charge and have gone my own way, have turned away from you in sin. Please forgive me. And if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, if we put our confidence in the fact that that is our one hope, that we can have life in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead to bring us to God. Or if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. We will be saved, which will mean change. It will mean transformation. It will mean change now. As we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we are made what the Bible calls new creations in Christ. We're made new. We're given new life, a new relationship with the God who made us. We're given new hope. And we know the Spirit at work in us, changing us bit by bit to become more like our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. And we become people who have that hope of even greater change in the future when Jesus comes back. That day when this perishable body puts on the imperishable, this mortal body puts on immortality, when we will share the image of Jesus as fully as we can share it and be like him. When we will be changed to enjoy a glorious eternal existence with our Saviour. As we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we can have a hope that goes far beyond COVID-19. Even when the coronavirus restrictions are lifted, something else will happen. There will be other tragedies, other periods of trouble, other pains. But in Jesus, who gives us the victory, we can have a hope that goes beyond those things, a hope forever. And if you are watching this or listening to this and you haven't confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you don't believe that God raised him from the dead, well, Jesus is even now calling you to come to him, to come and confess that he is Lord, to put your trust in what he's done in dying for our sin and being raised from the dead. To set your hope on that day that's coming soon when he'll come back for his people. To give you a hope that's not just for a short time, but forever. Come and confess Jesus as Lord today. As we think about this day of change, what does it mean for those of us who are trusting in Jesus, who do have this hope as ours? What does it mean for us? Well, Paul tells us in verse 58 what this all means for us. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain." This is a time when we're in this lockdown when it can feel like life is on hold. You just have to wait until the day when the restrictions are lifted. I know for some of you, a lot of life goes on as usual, and those of you who are in certain professions are perhaps working even harder than ever before. But other areas of life are kind of on hold. We just have to wait until the restrictions are lifted. We're just in lockdown mode. But as we look ahead to that day of change that's coming in our Lord Jesus Christ, the day when we will be changed, a day that's guaranteed because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, then we can see that there is still work to be done. As we look forward to that day that's coming, we have the confidence to keep abounding in the work of the Lord. And what that means for us may be very different from what it will mean for us when the COVID-19 restrictions are lifted again. We do all have the opportunity to pray for God's kingdom to come and for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, to pray that more people would come to put their hope and trust in our Lord Jesus and in his victory, to pray that God's people will be kept safe and even grow in this time. And we still have opportunities to love others as Jesus has loved us, to love others in practical ways, to show support and care. And we have opportunities to speak to others too, to speak about this good news of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, rose again, and is coming soon. To speak to those who know him, that they might be encouraged to keep pressing on. And to speak to those who don't yet know him, that they might find a hope that goes beyond COVID-19. And we can do all of those things knowing that our labour is not in vain, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is coming back. That day of change is coming. Death will one day be no more. Imagine that day when our COVID-19 restrictions are lifted and we can shake people's hands again. And now imagine that day that will bring the end of death. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? Remember that day. My friends, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Know that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the hope we can have in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of that day of change and transformation that's coming very soon when Jesus comes back, where we will be changed and we will be transformed and welcomed into an eternal, glorious kingdom that we don't deserve, that we don't naturally have a place in, but that's ours through the victory of Jesus Christ, who's dealt with our sin and who's risen victorious over death. Please help us in this time of uncertainty now to keep looking forward to that day, to keep trusting him, and you would cause us even now to abound in the work of the Lord as we await the day when Jesus comes back for his people. Amen.